Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you to our ministry.
Welcome.
Thank you for joining us today. It's going to be well worth your while. We're doing a two-part teaching on healing. This is part one and two. And we have a ministry called For His Glory. And I just wanted to let you know that we're a Messianic Jew. That's a Jew by race and saved by grace. And we've been studying the Bible for years, and it's been an absolutely central point of our life. God has been very gracious to us, and our goal is to help bring you to a closer relationship to the Lord and introduce you to Him so you can see Him more clearly, love Him more dearly, and worship Him more sincerely in spirit and truth. Now, today we're teaching on healing, and the first part of a two-part series, we're going to start with Romans 10:17. And recognize first that you must first know what the will of God is for you to have something to base your faith on. If you do not know that healing, which according to Bosworth, who wrote a book that I recommend for you dearly, called Christ the Healer by Bosworth, who had an authentic and wonderful healing ministry. Christ the Healer is his well-known book. And healing is really salvation of the body. Now, there's also healing of the soul and of emotions and of the mind. But the bottom line is God came to set the whole man whole and restore you, body, soul, and spirit. Now, you need to settle once and for all that the will of God for you is to be whole. You should be whole. You have to know the will of God. If you do not know the will of God, then how and what will you base your faith on? Faith, which is belief or trust, is based on information, ideally given by revelation. Therefore, you need to know what the will of God is, and based on that information that's revelatory from heaven above to earth beneath, from God to us all, then you believe in that knowledge, you have faith in that information, you can then be solid in what you understand. If you don't believe that God wants you well, or you're not sure, your faith will be unsure. Your faith will not be steady. If you think God has forsaken you or left you or doesn't care or just letting you to hang out there and dry out until you have to know what the will of God is for you. Now, He paid it in full. While we were yet sinners, Christ demonstrated His love for us in Romans 5:8. He has already done it while we were sinners. And it's not a matter, people, if you deserve it. If you feel unworthy, don't let that hold you back. Healing is an act of God, and it's an act of grace. And He's done it for us. He's also made you, as believers, worthy. And just to let you know, when people came to Him seeking healing, He healed them all. So those in ministry, heal them all, please. Romans 10:17 says, then the faith is from hearing, and hearing through a word of Christ. So remember, you have no faith without a word of Christ. When you have the word of Christ in you, you have a basis for your faith. Faith in Christ, faith in the word of Christ. Then you know and act. What's that word?
Act.
Good. Thank you, Danielle. Which is believing faith, or you act on your faith. On God's word. You can, by this kind of faith, appropriate what is rightfully yours. Now, I want you all to turn to Ephesians 1:3. Because sometimes we're praying to be blessed, or we're wondering if we are blessed, or we ask for God's blessing on something. Please, let's first recognize this truth, so when you do ask, recognize that you may be asking for what is already been given to you, and is now rightfully yours. Danielle will read Ephesians 1:3 in the New Testament.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Did you all hear what you said? Is that future or past or present tense? He has blessed us.
That's past.
So if it's past, it's
already done.
It's already done. And how many blessings do we have? 3, 13, 18, 24, 21, 119?
Every spiritual blessing.
Is that only on Tuesday?
No, it's every spiritual blessing.
Really?
Every day.
Well, I hope we act like that then. Every single day, in every way, all the blessings of God are available. Where are they? Where are the blessings? In Brooklyn?
Yes.
Where are they? What does it say?
In Brooklyn.
Yes, read the text, please.
Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Oh, in the heavenlies.
Yes.
So it would be important and totally necessary to be a citizen of heaven in order to appropriate what is in heaven from the Lord himself.
Yes, yes.
Meaning a disciple, a learner, a Talmid of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every spiritual blessing has been given to us in the heavenlies. Is it anywhere in heaven, or does it have a specific residence? What does the last part of the verse say? We have the answers in the book, people. It's an open book test. Read. Danielle will give it to us.
In Christ.
So they are in Christ. So all the blessings that we have that have been given to us are given to us in the heavenlies in Christ himself.
Right.
Therefore, when you appropriate a blessing, what has already rightfully been given, meaning given to you and now rightfully yours, you are to appropriate them through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So blessings are received through relationship. Often we may have a misunderstanding about appropriating blessings without the blessor, and making them abstract concepts for which we develop some formulas that may be very complicated and intricate, but divest us from a real relationship of the blesser. Then we end up just wanting things, and we play Santa Claus, and I want, I want, I want, I got the wish list, and I don't really care sometimes who or what brings it to me, as long as I get what I want. That becomes selfish and self-centered with a spiritual overtone that is really spiritual conceit, spiritual deception, and spiritual manipulation. That's not the way to do this. They're all going to be born and bred out of relationship. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to you, audience. Okay, make sure you know that, please. It's too important to miss. Danielle?
It says here, blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And in the Father, in the Our Father, it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is this
right.
Also speaking about what is in heaven we can have on earth here?
What do you think?
I think so.
I would have to agree. But we have to then be able to know how to receive.
How to appropriate.
How do we receive?
Mm-hmm.
How do we receive? Is based on how we believe.
Right.
And people, belief is not just a mere assent to facts. It's going to be an active, real, vibrant continuance until that blessing is realized in our life. If you go exercise and you believe that exercise is good for you, you read the books, if you go to doctors and you catch up on things on the internet and study it out carefully, and you see both physiologically and from a health perspective that exercise is good when it's done properly for your body in a methodical way on a regular basis. Now you have that working knowledge and you want to receive that blessing accordingly. You have to then act on that information, put feet to your faith. You have to literally pick your body up, put it in a vehicle or some sort, and go exercise, whether at home or a gym or on a street. You need to put your faith into gear and do something about it. Now, if you act on it one day and then say, well, I acted on it, but I don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody after 2 weeks of doing this here, what happened? Maybe the exercise really doesn't work. Well, it depends on a few things. On your faith, the exercise of your faith, as well as the exercise in that instance of your body, which is based on belief, and how great is the blessing? How high do you need to climb? You know, if you're running a race and you don't see the goal line yet, you may be halfway there. The Chinese have a saying, a 1,000-mile journey begins with one step. But that's the first half of it. It's the 1,000-mile journey begins with one step and continues. One step doesn't get you far on a 1,000-mile journey, doesn't get you down your driveway. It doesn't get you far out of the house. The point is to continue, and many of us fail and get broken along the rocks along the way, people, because we do not continue. When we do Healing Part 2, we're going to develop this out in more depth, but we want to bring out a good background for you here on the biblical model of truth with healing itself. Now, we're going to turn next to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, and I'll read it. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but yes in him. For as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. In him they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now, did you get that? It says, this here, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, to the people who were with Paul, was not yes and no. Sometimes, well, God said yes, and then God said no. What are you talking about? If it's true and we know what we believe and it's a promise of God and it's the truth of God and it's truly that which is of God in the heavenlies, in Christ, it is yes or no? No, it is
yes
and always.
Amen.
And always yes, always yes, always yes. Your choices are yes or yes. You choose either one. Take them both. The promises of God are that. Now, in Hebrew, the word promise is synonymous with the word word. When God says the word of God, and then it also translates the promises of God, when the promise of God is the same as the word of God, when God says something, his word is a promise. His promise is a word. His word is a promise. God has spoken his word, and he has exalted his word above his name.
What does that mean?
What do you think that means? He's exalted his word above his name. His name connotes his essence, his identity, and his nature. His name. Now, that is amplified very clearly for us in a covenant that God made with Abram. When he cut covenant with Abram in Genesis 15, he walked to the cut pieces of the animal, and they had been cut and laid except for the turtle dove and the young pigeon. Okay, you look at those, and God goes through those, and in the ancient East, the Mideast, rather, you find that that really says, if I break my part of the covenant, what has been done to the animals will be done to me. You give your word, you cut karat, you cut covenant, brit, you cut karat, brit, a covenant, brit. So when you cut a covenant, one is going into it and there's a absolute contractual condition that has been made and must be met. God says, I will exalt my word, what I have just said, it is a promise above my name or essence. God is in effect saying, if I don't keep my part of the covenant, then what was done to the animals will be done to me. So his word is going to be exalted above himself, above his essence, his name, and his identity, and yet it truly springs out of his essence, name, and identity. What God has spoken in the Bible, God says he will keep at all expenses, even that of himself, in effect. That's quite dramatic. You can believe this word. You know why? God believes it. And God believes it so much that he's put his name behind it and exalted his word above his name. That's quite amazing. So all the promises of God are yes. They are yes. But we must do them until we realize the yes in our life. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Everyone turn to Romans in the New Testament, chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2, and Danielle will read it for us all, please.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Beautiful. Let's look at a few things here by the Holy Spirit. And be ye not conformed. What does conformed mean? Con means with. Form.
Same
all right?
form.
With form. Same form. Very good. And do not be conformed. Do not be of the same form to this age, to this world. So there's an identification shift here. But be ye transformed, like transportation, transatlantic, transcontinental. Trans means to go across. Transform means to go across form. You're making a form change here. So don't be conformed with form, this of the same form, to this age, but be transformed. And then the question is, well, great, but how do I become transformed? Just keep reading the verse. Danielle read it after it says, but be ye transformed how? By the
renewing of your mind.
Ah, so. People, the battlefield is the mind.
Yes.
Always the mind. It's from the neck up, you win the war from the neck down. Okay? From the neck up, you win the war from the neck down. And truly, all the battles that we face in the world, in the spirit too, you win them inside to win them outside. If you don't win the battles inside and you step outside and Satan goes to sift you, when he finds something in you that looks like him, he'll go after it and he'll rip you to shreds in that area of your life. You must get totally clean. This is why the Lord says himself, the world ruler is coming and he has nothing in me. In John 14:30, Jesus Christ is the speaker. I will not speak much more to you, for the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. Please remember that. Nothing in me. Jesus Christ is letting us know a very, very, very important point. We must have the same. There should be nothing in us that's of the world ruler who represents Satan. Later, in the sense here, the Antichrist, who will be incarnate eventually by Satan. And we understand clearly that this world ruler, Satan, Jesus says, he has nothing in me. We must be absolutely, totally clear of this age. And the way is twofold, what not to do and then what to do. What not to do and what to do. In Romans 12:2, it says what Danielle read earlier, do not be conformed. This is a Hebraic way of speaking, the do's and the don'ts. First here, the don't. And be you not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. It's one of the ways you can prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect, and that will be manifest through the renewing of your mind. You may find many times during the course of the day your thoughts wander. They go to different places. You're not thinking. You're daydreaming. And how much of the actual day are you actually focused on particular thoughts and watching them and observing them like cooking, and you're taking care of business and guarding that soil so you don't be conformed to something of this world and mess up what you're cooking, like putting weeds in the lawn, but you're watching it and nurturing it and taking care of it properly during the time that you're supposed to be well attending to that field.
This is really important to me because when I was younger, I didn't know that I can control what I was thinking.
Really?
No one told me. So to all the little children, and everyone else too, when you have a thought or you're thinking or entertaining something in your mind that you don't feel good about, makes you feel sad or makes you feel bad, you can control it.
Absolutely.
Renew your mind. Stop thinking about it.
You
can control your thoughts.
Don't be conformed to it. Shut that down. Just say no in Jesus' name. And you say it no with strength and conviction, and you say no until it's clear, period.
And think about what Jesus told you to think about.
Yes. Go to Philippians 4:6-8. Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians 4:6-8. And look how this plays out along with what Danielle is saying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, is how to think. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things.
So you don't have to think about scary things or sad things. You can stop it and do what God said.
You have to, exactly. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your mind should focus on just what we read and the beautiful things that God has done, and focus on that, period. Now, this produces steadfast faith, a maturing faith. You steel your mind to the things of God. You implant His word in you. In Psalm 119:11, it says, "Thy word I have treasured, or thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So the purpose of putting the word deep within you, in your heart, in your soul, in your essence, is to help prevent you from what? Sinning. It helps prevent you from sinning. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, tells us, looking away, that's a more literal translation, looking away to the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Next, go back one verse, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's say us together for everybody, us, because sometimes we think we're alone. We're like cut off from the pack and we're just out there fighting all by ourselves against the world. It says you have not a cloud, a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Us includes each of you that know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that don't yet, you well can. You open your heart and soul to Him and say, "Lord, I want peace in my mind. I want peace in my heart. I don't want all these struggles. I want to have the victory." 1 Corinthians 15:57, that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want His peace that passes all understanding. I want the peace of Jesus that the world doesn't know. That's in John 14:27. I want your victory. I want your peace. I want to have a relationship with you. 1 John 1:4, that'll make my life complete. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the most besetting sin, the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So lay aside every encumbrance. That goes back to what Danielle read earlier about being conformed to this world. Lay aside every encumbrance and the most besetting sin, or the sin which so easily entangles us. Hata, sin. In Hebrew, if you look at each letter, it literally at a much deeper level means the fence or gate that surrounds your strength, or the fence or gate that separates you from God. So sin, in its word definition, if you look it up in a dictionary, a Hebrew dictionary, Hebrew English dictionary, it'll tell you that it means to miss the mark. What's the mark? It's life.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow you miss getting right on target with life.
Do you mean abundant life?
Well, John 10:10 tells us, Jesus is the speaker, "I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly." So the life that we have is available to us. But sin surrounds your strength, it ties you up, it separates you from God, and you miss the mark. So sin is anything which is contrary to God's will, His word, and His way. Please, healing is full restoration. Healing is another aspect of restoration, to be restored, to be made whole, and thereof to be becoming holy. So it's our great desire that you be healed of every malady and every problem. Be sure first that the word of God, you have to know this in your heart, is true, it is real, and it is holy. And it doesn't change. Forever, O Lord, thy word stands firm in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. And we invite you to join us next week for Healing, Part 2. This has been Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. And we bid you Shalom.